he's always such a nice dude. You know, he's like a fucking.
He is. He's a very nice guy.
He makes you feel like you're still like hanging out in your basement at his mom's house. Hey guys, want some pizza? Or, you know, you're hanging out. He's such a good dude. So
I love him. He's a good guy.
Fuck yeah. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with
Carlos De Jesus.
And we are talking about our pal, Steve Simone. It's Easter weekend right now. We did not record this podcast.
Oh, is it really? Is it?
And it's Easter weekend when this is aired. Not at the moment.
I'm like, is it really Easter? Like, oh man.
Next weekend it's Easter. That's why we're doing this one right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, surprise reveal, man. Not a spoiler for the holidays at all. But this is Easter weekend. I recorded this one last week with Steve Simone at his house because let's be honest, man, it's 45 minutes to an hour to get to the Comedy Store and home from where he lives. So instead of having to come down here and then back and forth, I was just like, hey, man, I'm on my way to Ventura to go see my buddy Steve Harper because he just retired today. And we're going to say what's up and swing by. Can I do the podcast since I'm on the way? He says, Zappos. So we got him on here. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Got anything coming up?
No, I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Steve Simone. I love the guy. He's very sweet.
Hell yeah. Very much of a good guy. And I'm sure that if you go over to his house, he's got...
Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with...
Steve Simone.
One of my favorite people in the whole comedy world. And we're hanging out at the Comedy Store about almost 10 years ago, man.
How long it's been?
Yeah, dude. It's been almost like a decade.
It goes by so fast.
Right? I don't know, man. I was hanging out, and you did a spot. It was my first night there. And somewhere in there, it had Hawkman Dive from Flash Gordon. And ever since then, I was like, this dude is like one of the coolest guys ever.
That's cool.
So you've been at the store for how long, man?
I think I did my first open mic in September of 2000, so 18 years.
18 years at the store, and then before that you were doing Philly? And...
I wanted to do comedy, but there just wasn't much to do. Does that make sense? Like, I graduated college in the 90s and did a couple open mics, like two or three open mics right after college. I'm like, okay, this will be my job.
Yeah.
That's really what I wanted to do. But comedy was dead. It's like right after the boom, there were no clubs. There was nothing. And I was in Baltimore. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's like the wave went out, you know?
Yeah. So I got a job. And then like if there was a comedy night somewhere, I'd go like check it out and like want to do it. I did a couple open mics in Philly at a place called the Laugh House. And then I did like... two open mics in New York that were kind of like the precursor to the Bringer shows.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So I've been on stage a handful of times before I came to LA. But I came here to do... And then it took... Comedy was still dead where I moved out here to do comedy, but I was probably on a diet of 3 minutes of stage time for like my first 8 years.
Yeah, it's like...
It's really tough because I didn't have a car and I worked all the time.
Right.
So the only open mic I could really hit was the Comedy Store. And then, like, you know, Pauly Shore was kind enough to take me out on the road with him. I opened for Dice a few times, but Pauly was really the one that, like, gave me stage time during the first 10 years.
And that's kind of like how you came out here, right? Because of Pauly.
Yeah. Pauly, one of the things I had done was a comedy contest in Philly.
Yeah.
And... the celebrity guest judge / host was Pauly Shore for the final round. And I won that. And Pauly's buddy Dean was his road manager who later became the GM of the Comedy Store.
Yes, I remember Dean.
But Dean was like, Pauly was like, hey, dude, you should be at the Comedy Store. You're funny. And I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And he thought like I was already in a like working comic.
Right.
And I was like, no, this is just what I want to do. And he was like, oh, dude, come to the store. So then I remember I carried Pauly's t-shirt boxes for him to his limousine, and Dean wrote down his cell phone number for me. And he was like, if you ever make it to LA, give us a call.
Awesome.
And I had already quit my job. By that point, I was like, that's really what I wanted to do, and I didn't know how I was going to get to LA. I'd come out on a vacation about 6 months before that. And then my person that was supposed to be my roommate, he was like, you quit your job, I'll quit mine. And then I quit my job, and he didn't.
That's the funny thing about a lot of people. When I was recruiting, mm-hmm. you know, and I would have friends that are like, yeah, we're still going to go with the buddy system. And it always seems like that last minute.
Yep, somebody always chickens out.
There's that one guy who's like, dude, I have all invested in this, and this is what I want to do the rest of my life, whether it's a military or stand-up comedy or acting, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then that person's like, I'm happy to be in my comfort zone, and I don't ever want to leave this.
Yes.
You know, and that's where the argument of life always happens, outside the comfort zone, you know?
Yeah.
So being out here alone, and then, you know, how'd you meet a lot of friends and stuff like that doing comedy?
It was just the Comedy Store.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to stay. I don't know how I survived those years anyway, but for certain, there's no way I would have been able to stay out here without the store.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
Dude, there was times for me, like, I remember just texting. I didn't even know the text went all the way through.
Yeah.
But the Comedy Store's got this weird, like, comfort zone, too, mm-hmm. where, you know, like, no matter what, you can go there and you'll feel kind of okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I remember, it's like right when my wife left me, dude, I sent you a text. I said, hey, I'm coming to the store, man. I'm kind of bumming.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know this text sent. And you're like, hello, buddy. Are you okay? And I was like, it's Steve Simone. This is so cool. You know, you can stay with me if you need, whatever you need. And, you know, and I'm forever grateful for that. And I'm also, as, you know, a former military guy, you know, I did my time and now I'm not. But I really want to say thanks to you, because you know more about places like Djibouti than most Navy Seabees and a lot of stuff like that. And you did a lot of these comedy tours, you know.
Yeah, very grateful for that.
How talk about that, will you, please?
Well, I'll be really honest. We were talking about, like, I don't know how I made it through those lean years in comedy. Like, I'm 18 years in, and it just seems like now, like, I'm like, oh, there's money coming in. Like, after 18 years, like, not money. Like, where I'll be able to pay my bills with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't recommend my journey to anybody. Even if I start making $1 million a year, I'd still go, you're probably better off being an accountant. Because you have to eat it for 20 years. Oh, It's not worth it.
No.
But I'll say this about the military, okay?
Yeah.
Like, probably the lowest point for me out here was about 5-6 years into it, you know? And then it slowly started to get a little bit better. Each year it started to get... It kept on getting worse.
Right.
Each year for the first 5 or 6 years. And then I did a tour. My buddy Dave Mishevitz, he's awesome. He had linked up with this guy, Rich Davis, that has a company called Comics on Duty. And Mishevitz had done, I don't know, so many tours for Rich that he was almost like a tour manager, where comedians were just going back and forth essentially to Iraq.
Right.
Because it was during the big push. And Mishevitz called me and was like, do you have a passport? I was like, yeah. He was like, you want to use it? I was like, uh-oh, where are we going? And he was like, Afghanistan. And I was like, I felt like I needed to do something to support you guys.
Right.
But I was scared. That's the truth. I was scared to go to Afghanistan because...
Oh, yeah, that's to be expected.
Yeah, like, you know, you're going into a war, and that's real.
Detroit, right? Afghanistan. It's, you're like, man, I'm kind of nervous about these. You get the butthole pucker factor going on. Yeah.
But I met the best people I've ever met. And the military people, they're just better, and they know it. You know what I mean? They're just cut from a different cloth. They're just... And interacting with people like that at a time when I needed to know there were still good people in the world. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
So it was just really, it was amazing timing. It was divine intervention for me where like I was completely broken by Los Angeles. And I was at a point where I was like, and now my friend's going, do you want to do your patriotic duty? And I'm like, I guess so. And then I went and it was amazing. I met the best, like just better people. That's the, and like, it reaffirmed my belief in humanity. It's kind of crazy that I had to go into a war zone to see the best side of people.
That's what I love about the troops. I mean, and as you're saying, I'm totally agreeing, because with how LA can be heart-wrenching sometimes.
For sure.
And as a comic, it's great to be around comics, but I need to once a month at least go down to Coronado and see some of my buddies that are bees and team guys or go up to Port Hueneme, you know, and see some of my old battalion people because it's grounding. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is where I came from. This is what's going on. And I'm actually doing the right thing. Because you get a lot of self-doubt in this job. You know,
for sure. Yeah. And, like, poverty. Being poor, man. It's, like, not it's not fun.
Right.
You know?
No, it's not. It's in that I'm being you know, as far in as I don't want to say far in, but, like, I've been seven, eight years now.
Man,
like,
it's a long time.
And I'm barely starting to make money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm barely, you know, but I fortunately, I did I have a little bit of a retirement coming in, so that pays some of my bills, and the rest is radio.
It's great. That's a good life, dude. It's a fun life.
You know, and it's I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for people like you guys at the store, speaking of the whole store and stuff like that. It was like your first USO tour, like, though. Like, when you got there, what was that?
Well, okay, so the first time I entertained the troops was November of 2006, I believe. And we flew from LA to Kyrgyzstan, where there's an air base right outside of Afghanistan. And we did two shows there. And I was just touched by everybody's very human story of how they got there. Meaning the show was great, right? Like the first couple shows were great. But then afterwards, you sit and talk to people, and you're on the other side of the world, literally on the other side of the world, talking to people about their lives in America. Like, they were just so excited to see it. Like it didn't even matter that we were comedians. It was just like, what's a civilian doing here? What's going on back home? And I'm going to be honest. I remember after that first show, I remember talking to a lot of women that were in the military, that had kids at home. And that was something that I don't think the average American even knows that that's a sacrifice that's being paid every day.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, like, I had no idea. I was like, what? What's, like, I didn't know, like, I didn't know anything about the military.
Right.
I just thought, like, everybody had a gun and pointed it in one direction. I didn't realize how many different facets, how many there's, all the logistics people, all the medical people, all the supply people, all the everything. And it's all over there. And you're like in this little town that felt almost like a cowboy frontier town. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly.
You're like, and there's like all barriers. These.
You're waiting for a freaking piece of tumbleweed to fly by.
Yeah. And there's like all these like trailers set up. And I'm like, that's where you go get your hair cut. And they're giving me plastic quarters. There's no change. You get those pogs. The pogs from the PX. And then you're meeting kids. There's some kids.
Yeah.
They're 18 years old, and you're like, what the, what is this?
Well, and the cool thing is, and God bless you for it, brother, because a lot of times, like, when we're out here as comics, you know, it's the same, it's a mutual feeling of, am I doing the right thing? You know what I mean? Because you're, but the cool thing is, you're with people that you know.
It's everything.
So you wonder about people back home. Do they care? I mean, a lot of people might not like the war, but they care about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's most, for the most part, you know, and it's cool to actually see that, because the news never wants to portray good things. They always want to portray, you know, the bad stuff, you know? So.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience to just go over and say thank you face-to-face. Because by getting on the plane and traveling and going around the world, when you said thank you to somebody after a show, they know I meant it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're like, no, dude, you're here.
Yeah.
I know this isn't just lip service.
Exactly.
And
it's not mailing it in. You physically showed up to
hand
deliver this.
And I remember at the end of that tour just having so much admiration and gratitude for the sacrifices that were being made. And I was so grateful for the opportunity to just give people a little break. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. When you go over there and everything's just so busy and it's so foreign and it's so different that you don't really have time to think about where you are or the consequences or any of that stuff. You're just there. But when you're on stage, it didn't matter that, like, you're at some fob in the middle of nowhere. When you're on stage and there's an audience, that's just a show.
Yeah.
It's just a show. So for that time you're on stage, it felt like we were back in America. Like, I know it felt that way for me, and I know it felt that way for those guys.
Well,
that you get a break from where you are, and I went, okay, if I ever have the chance to do this again, I will do it again. And you know what? I did. And I continue to do so. Whenever I have the opportunity, I will.
The fun thing about your sets, too, Steve, is that you, I don't know if you still do it, but you used to do, like, we're like in my mom's basement. And then that honestly is how it feels. Like, you've always been, had this thing about making it feel like you're an old friend. Like, I mean, the first time I see you on stage, I'm like, this is my buddy I used to eat pizza with at school at the lunch table. And we're trying to figure out who's going to get the extra slice.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. So
yeah, I do comedy because I love people, you know what I mean? And that can be an exhausting way to live life. But there's nothing better than when it's reciprocated. That, like, when I'm trying to do the right thing and the audience appreciates it, and there's never been an audience better than a military audience. Especially the further away you are from home and the more dangerous the place.
Dude, tell me about it. That's how I got here. I mean, the initial thing was that, Robin Williams, Lewis Black, Kid Rock, Lance Armstrong, Miss America, that USO tour, and then like in the middle of the set, Retreat goes down. And if you Google this, you'll see, and then you'll hear me in the background, play ball, when it's done.
Great.
So it's just like, when you hear that, you're like, dude, that's Church.
That's
you
awesome.
Know? So yeah.
Well, I remember two things. Well, actually, I remember when I was really, really little. From the time I can remember, my parents always instilled in us a respect for anybody that wears the uniform.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a kid of the 80s. So my parents saw how the guys from Vietnam were treated when they came home. And they knew that was wrong. And they knew that they would never raise their children to treat somebody that wore the uniform like that. Okay? So when we were little, like if we ever saw somebody in a uniform, my parents would go thank that gentleman. And it was just instilled in me. And then I remember, like, there was, you know, I'm a boy. And little boys love playing war. That's just in our DNA. We loved it. And I remember a kid that lived down the street from us, we would play Army Men. And his older brother was actually a Green Beret.
Yeah.
And we got to shake his hand once. Me and my little brother, we waited for him, like, it seemed like for hours. It was probably 10 minutes.
Yeah,
like, oh, when's he going to get here? Exactly.
We've all waited 3 seconds for a bell to ring. That's 5 days sometimes.
Yeah, and it was just always there. And then I remember opening up then I remember working the door at the Comedy Store. And everybody was, Robin Williams came back to do a benefit show for us.
Oh, cool.
And you know, there was just so many, like, assistants and hangers-on and entourage after entourage. And everybody's looking for Robin. Like, it's getting close to showtime. Like,
right.
Where is he? And I remember he was wearing this heavy-duty, like, camouflage parka and just walked right by everybody in line and was like, hey, how's it going? And went in, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. And he had already gotten his military gear, and he was getting ready. The Comedy Store show was a warm-up show for that USO tour in 2003.
Wow.
That's where he worked out his material to bring to the USO. And I was like, and I remember seeing that on the news, and I'm like, oh, Robin Williams is cool. He went over there to say thank you. And then a couple years after that, actually right before I went to go entertain the troops, I remember opening up for Paulie and Dave Attell at like the University of Iowa.
No way. That's dope.
And Attell has done so many USO tours.
Right.
And he was talking and Paulie was like, what do you do it for? And Attell's like, I remember Dave Attell's just eating soup. And he looks at Paul and he goes, we're at war. Everybody has to do their part.
Yeah.
And I went, damn, Dave Attell's awesome. He's so awesome. Like, I just admired that dude so much.
Yeah.
As a comic. But when I heard him say that, because the thing is, like, and I don't want anybody to think, like, I'm pro-war. You know what I mean?
I don't think
there should. I think that's one of the things about seeing war up close. Like, as a civilian, to at least be exposed to it a little tiny teensy bit.
Right.
You never want anybody to go through that. And I don't think we, the reason why I'm so grateful is because I don't think anybody should have to pay the sacrifices people are currently paying.
Well, like,
I'm grateful.
Yeah.
But we should do a better job of taking care of our troops, is what I'm saying. Like, when guys come home, there should be more for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's definitely appreciated. I mean, it's like, I'm still in an uphill battle with the VA over some benefit issues.
Yeah, that's... You know, and it's that's...
I did 20
ridiculous.
Years.
Ridiculous.
And they're trying to tell me that there are certain things that aren't related. And I'm like, how the fuck is it not? I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to turn this into that, but how's it not? Because it was like 19 when I left home, you know what I mean?
Correct.
And I got out basically 40 years old. So how is it not related to the military? You know, so right. That's why it's kind of frustrating, because there's a lot of uphill battles, and, you know, and people like you as a comic and also just a good dude make sure that some ears that are normally deaf ears hear things. Which is good. That's, you know, so if you don't, and here's a plug, if you don't, you got to listen to Good Times, you know, Steve Simone's podcast, because you'll hear a lot of good stuff on there as well. And it's, you know, it's very good. It's heartfelt. And it's true, you know.
So. Yeah, you can focus on the good stuff. That's what I try to do.
What was your favorite, or actually I wouldn't say favorite, but what was some of the craziest things you've seen, like, over there?
Well, I remember the first thing I did, this is funny to me. I remember when my first tour of Afghanistan. I remember this, my first flight on a military plane.
Oh, was this like a C-130 or something, or
C-5? No, first one ever, I got lucky. It was a C-17.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's...
And they put me up in the cockpit, like a little kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Did they give you wings?
Yeah, that's what it felt like. But I got scared. Like,
right?
It was my first tour, and all these other comedians had done a bunch of these tours before. And they were like, is there a Steve Simone here? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, what are you doing sitting there? I'm like, I don't know. They told me to sit here. Like, I was so nervous. And they were like, is this your first time on a military? And I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. They're like, well, you're not supposed to sit here. You're supposed to sit in the cockpit. I'm like, what?
Yes, sir.
It was awesome. It was so cool. But then I remember we were flying through a place they called the Valley of Death.
Oh, that's because, a beautiful place.
Yeah. Do you ever hear of that? Because, like, all on the mountaintops, they could take out planes with, like, RPGs.
Yeah.
So now, and the guy's seat I'm sitting in, his job was generally to look out for that. But they were like, it's wintertime. Nobody's going to be up here. And I'm like, oh, my God. So then I kept on looking out the window. But then I remember we had a little downtime before the show. So I went to the gym and I worked out. And I remember I was squatting that day. And I listened to Hulk Hogan's theme song.
Yes, exactly. I so visualize this. You're like, in your head, you got the guitar, the American flag.
Yeah, so I remember working out the Hulk Hogan's theme song. And then, from that first tour, like I said, the coolest thing's hanging out with people after the show.
Yeah.
And trying to extend that time of good times on stage and the laughs. But I remember the time I've told this story on a bunch of podcasts because I didn't know. Like, now I think we have a much better understanding. You know what? I will say this. There's definitely, a greater appreciation for the military than there was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And definitely. Especially, and there's also more awareness of, like, the special operations community. Like, people are like, oh, you could be a real-life superhero.
Yeah.
You know, like those guys. But when I went over... We did one big show at Bagram. We did a couple shows at Smaller, but it was like the big show. And I remember looking out on stage, and it was a surreal, because everybody's in uniform. And you see all the rifles lined up. All the rifles lined up against the wall.
Yeah.
Like, they have those racks.
Right.
Like, it's not like a hat rack. It's like a place where you put your gun.
Yeah, if you're in a nice, confined, like, area away from the outside edges of a base, you can actually secure your weapons if you're in a hardened structure that's
considered a
bunker.
Yeah.
So if it's considered a bunker, you can do that. You can relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So I look out, and there's just, like, a line after line of rifles lined up, people in uniform. And there's probably, I don't really honestly remember how big of a venue it was. I'm saying, like, let's say if it's at 400, half the venue was standing room only with everybody in uniforms, right?
Right.
Like, you look out and half the room, the left side of the stage left, is uniforms all the way back and rifles all on the other side. Now, you look to stage right and it's 30 rows of empty seats. Nobody's on that side of the building. of the venue. Zero.
Right, right.
And then there was like eight dudes in the first two rows that looked like the Sons of Anarchy.
Like beards and
giant beards, sunglasses, long hair,
yeah,
jeans. And I'm like, and they are spread out, completely different posture. Like, when the one guy said he was a contractor, I thought he meant, like, he worked. My first initial thought was, oh, this guy fixes the air conditioning on the place, right? Right? You know what I mean? But then, this is what happened. I went up on, first couple guys went up, they did okay. And these dudes were like, you know, not relevant. And then I went up, and I killed it. I just had a really good set. Every once in a while, you get a really good one.
Right.
This was a really good one.
Yeah.
And that eight guys is now 12, 15 dudes or whatever. And I get off stage, and they hug me. Like, they're waiting. It was like that scene in Goodfellas when they're like, oh, you broke your cherry. They're like, you were awesome. Yeah, and the kid's getting out of jail. So I'm walking down the steps to the stage. It's like a auditorium, the giant American flag all out. I'm like, yes, I did it. Now all these, like, savages, the bad kids, are all like, you were awesome. And I'm like, oh, what's... And they were like, normally the comedians they send us suck, but you were really good. And I'm like, oh, and we're having laughs. And I'm like, the show wasn't over yet. And I'm like, can we just keep it down a little bit? And they were like, why? And I'm like, you know, and they were like, no, this guy sucks. I could tell he sucks. And they're like, all right. So then
I'm in your house.
And then they're watching it. Yeah. And then they're like, no, he sucks. You're funny. And they're like, keep the laughs going. And I'm like, well, and they go, nobody's going to tell us anything. We're special operations. I'm like, what?
The guys.
I didn't know anything about, but they were, they had their own base in there. They had like lobsters and steaks. Yeah. It was like a base within a base. And they invited me to come by, but then they had to go do stuff. But we still got to go by. They work all the time, but it was so cool.
And
then we did a smaller show, and one of the guys came out to that, and it was awesome. It was really cool.
Did you pop around to like a lot of different fobs from then?
My first tour, we got snowed in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we got snowed in. Remember, we built a snowman.
I went to Afghanistan. I built a snowman.
I still have that. It's one of my favorite pictures.
And it's funny, too, because a lot of people consider that kind of a place a desert. It's like, dude, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, or like, same with Iraq. They don't realize how green it really is in some places. You know, it's like, no, it's actually not what you think it is, you know?
The whole world's, like, interesting. It's just cool to get to see stuff, you know?
Well, that's the cool thing about being a comic, man, is you just get a chance to tour the tour the world and try to make it a better place, you know?
Yeah.
With your craft.
It's a good way to put it.
You know? And who's probably one of your favorite people to go on tour with?
Ever?
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about, like... If I get to go out with Ren Azizi and Ari.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that doesn't even seem like we're doing comedy. That's just legitimately hanging out with your friends.
Right.
And then it's like, the shows don't even seem like they have the same stakes. We're just like, all right, yeah, well, my friends know I'm funny. And I know they're going to kill it, so I don't have any pressure to carry the show.
Right.
And if I do bad, they're going to know that doesn't mean I am bad. That just means I had a bad set.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes complete sense, man. Makes complete sense.
And then everybody's doing great, so the show's awesome. The audience is having fun, so that makes doing your job easier. But just hanging out before and after the show, like, is the greatest.
That good feeling, like, after a good set.
Yeah, just hanging out with your friends.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, I love being on the road with Ari and Ren Azizi.
That's cool, man.
They're awesome. They're just good dudes.
That's the whole deploying with... That's why I love comedy and the military. So there's a lot of similarities. I mean, you got to be worried about bombs. And, you know, like sometimes when you deploy with people, you know, that's the same thing. Like you're going to these different places, different cities, but it just doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude... It's not to start singing Bon Jovi, but we got each other. That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. And that's, you know, it's pretty crazy. You got anything coming up or you doing any more USO tours or anything
like
that?
You know, I reached out to Steve Byrne because Steve Byrne's brother was in the Army.
Right.
And I've done two USO. I love being on the road with Byrne, by the way. Right. That's like being on the road with Sinatra. Byrne always pays for everything. He knows how to have a great time.
Yes.
He's awesome. I love it. I put Byrne right up there with everybody.
That's so cool.
He won't let you pay for anything. Like, he's the greatest. Steve Byrne's the greatest. And he has his dad was in the Army. His brother was in the Army. And so most of my tours with for the military have been through that.
Yeah.
Comics on Duty. But then with Byrne, I got to do some USO tours. And he's the best. So I reached out to him, and I think we're going to shoot for September.
So cool, man. I'm stoked for you. Because, matter of fact, speaking of his brother Will, that's how I know him, through you. And he's done the show.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, I did hook you guys up, right?
And then, like, the last podcast I did was either Don Barris's or Will's.
Wow.
And then, because he had Military Moments, him and that other cat
did
the Military Moments. And, and then that was... It was Don Barris, and then it was Will. So it was like within a 24-hour period. I don't remember which one. Because, like, before you deploy, everything just happens, like, so fast.
So fast.
You know, and...
What's that like? Like, how scary is that on that plane over there?
Not really. It's kind of like just, you know, you're going to go do a set with a bunch of friends, you know? And then my last deployment was Okinawa, so there was no scare whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, it was like...
That's where I just was with Byrne, and I guess that was our last USO tour.
That was... And, you know, the thing is, too, is you were on a different part... you were on the other side of Camp Kadena. Because on the Kadena Air Force Base, that's... what's happening, man? The Kadena Air Force Base, you're on the whole other side as the Seabees, and it was an early show.
Yeah.
So, like, I was, like, texting, you know, and actually Facebook messaging all the Seabees, like, dude, you got to go to see my buddy. He's like, dude, we work. You know, like, mother of pearl. But, no, Steve was in Virginia Beach, and the cool thing was is he knew I was friends with you, and he knew I was friends with Will, and Rick, the guy who runs it, you know, we're kind of all in the club at the same time. And he's like, I was like, hey man, can I, I'm trying to work on some of this material and stuff. And, you know, anytime I can do the funny bone, you know, he's like, hey, yeah, whatever. So I did guest spots for Steve.
Oh, that's
for
awesome.
While he was there. And then, like, right across the street, there's a, there's an Irish pub, a catty corner from the Virginia Beach Funny Bone.
Okay.
Same thing. He would not, like, I had a couple of my guys, because I'm, you know, at this time, I'm still active duty Navy.
Yeah.
And I would, I'd be at work till 4, I'd take a 2-hour nap, and then I'd get to the comedy club, whatever club I could get, I'd do at least 1-2 sets a night.
That's awesome.
And then take a nap. It was like rinse, repeat every day. Yeah. You know, and I was in that mode, and I had a bunch of my guys from Alpha Company over in the Amphibious Battalion I was at. Came and saw him, and he bought him a couple shots and stuff. Oh, really?
Yeah, Byrne's awesome.
He's like, thanks, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, what? And Davis, I think it was Davis, was one of the dudes, or, I feel so bad because I'll butcher his name. It was either Daniels or Davis, was so stoked because he's like one of the hugest fans.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just like, no way, that's not real. Oh, it is. It is really him. No way.
That's all. I remember Byrne bought, Byrne and Gary Cannon, you know who Gary is?
Yeah.
He's hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, he's so much fun to be on the road with. Like, Byrne's USO crew, it's me, Bill Crawford, who's awesome.
Right.
Who's, like, the number one, like, morning guy on the number one morning show in Pittsburgh.
Cool.
Yeah, he's awesome and a great comic. So it's Crawford, Byrne, and Gary Cannon, and they just break each other's balls the whole time.
Yeah.
But we were in somewhere in Korea, and it was, like, a real bar, but it was on base.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a cool setup for a show, and Byrne and Gary bought the entire room around.
Nice. That was might have been Poang, maybe. I don't know.
People went crazy.
Dude, that's so dope. I wish, honestly, like, that's one thing I want to get to be able to do. I would like to be able to figure out a way to do my own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
You know, you come with me. If I
That'd
do
be
ever,
awesome.
If I ever do figure it out, Steve, like, you're one of the few at the store, like, and it's funny because it's just like, remember, like, when you got to kindergarten and all the third graders look big, or
yes.
sixth graders, and they're like, these guys are huge. And they're
yep.
all, fast forward to years later, they're only a couple of years older than you. But when you're in kindergarten,
it's a whole other world.
Yeah, and you'll carry that respect for those people forever because they, in your head, they're still way older than you.
Yes.
And that's like you, Triple E, Eleanor, and a lot of the other people at the Comedy Store, you know, Don Barris, they've been there for a while. So it's like, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Oh,
chasing this Hollywood crazy dream and stuff, you know. And, yeah, man. So what's, or what was some of the, probably the worst part about doing the USO stuff? Just saying goodbyes?
um... I mean, there's nothing fun about being on a base that gets locked down because somebody died.
Yeah.
You know? There's nothing fun about that.
No. Yeah, going into River City, as we call it, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. Like, you can feel it on people, you know? It's not pretty. And I think if everybody was exposed to it, there'd be a... We'd be a lot... Like, it...
We wouldn't fight as much.
No.
For sure, you know?
Correct.
What I'm
that's like, my point. Like, people talk about war like it's buying a car.
Oh, send troops. Send troops. Do
yeah,
that.
Like, what are you talking
guys aren't
about?
Doing
you
enough.
Have, right. You don't understand what it is.
No.
Like, one of the things, the last time I went to Afghanistan was probably 6 years ago. The last couple tours I've done have been easy. They've been like, well, we went to Iraq 2 years ago, something like that. But we had to take helicopters everywhere, so that was cool. But when I was in Afghanistan, probably like seven years ago, I don't know, the last time I went there. But, we were at one base, little fob, whatever, and the place where we were supposed to go the next day, the guys that were building our stage were hit with a mortar. Like, almost 24 hours exactly before our show. So if that had come in a day later, that would have been one of us on stage.
Jeez.
So...
He said this was in Iraq?
No, that was Afghanistan.
Afghan, gotcha. Jeez. It's probably Seabees, too. Yeah, man. Ugh. That's one of the things that... That's the downfall of the job, you know.
Anyway, yeah.
But
it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what makes all the laughs and everything we get to enjoy every day here all the better. We don't appreciate all the awesome stuff in life.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, how
no,
great is
definitely.
It that we're hanging out? Right now, you got your pretzels, I got my Diet Coke. It's the middle of the day, we're not on some job site breaking up rocks.
No, we're on stickers and we're trying to get them to people that like us.
Yeah, that's
you know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah, it's a good life.
That's you know, life. And this is why I think comedy in combat zones and in places where traumatic things are happening, like even hospitals and stuff like that,
yeah,
where that is way more impactful than just regular everyday pedestrian life. Is because for myself as an example, you know, people like you, when you came to these places, a leader is sitting there thinking, all right, I got weapons I got to do. All right, who's got the 240? Who's got the 50? Who's got this? What vehicle is down? Who needs to do the maintenance? Whose wife's going through a divorce? Whose kids learning how to walk?
Yeah.
Who's got comps? Who's good with comps? Oh, we just lost a guy with a security clearance because his credit card didn't come back. He's got a bad credit card check. We got this guy. He's banging somebody else over in another company, and he's in love. So he can't go with us because he's going under investigation. Yeah. We got this dude over here. He's very unstable. And who's got the right medicine? Do we have enough food? Do we have enough water? What's going on? I mean, I could do this forever because that is a nonstop. It's like the Matrix numbers going through your head. And then when you have comedy... And you have a comic or a band or somebody like that hitting these USO things, that second that they don't suck or they actually break through, all that whole data just stops. And it's just like this clear opening. And it's just, what the heck just happened? And that's, dude, no way. This is the best. You know, it just totally takes a break.
And it's cool.
From everything. And you're like, okay, I can process this stuff in a little bit. But I need just a little bit of this time.
Yeah, it's important to have breaks, man. You need it.
Because it's never stopped from the time you're asleep to the time you get up. And usually in your sleep, it's still happening. Because you're, you know, I'm still waking up thinking I'm there sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still, like, walking around my house. Like, sometimes I'll pat my chest, like, where's my gun? Oh, that's right, I don't have a gun.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, too. You'll see this ghost pat. I don't know what you really call it, but you'll do this. You'll see this from veterans. They'll just, like, you know, because they're used to having, like, an M4 or M6 or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pat the side for...
Yeah, you did it for 20 years, you know, man.
Goes fast. I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat. If I was still that age, that is. You know, I'll probably fall apart right now.
Well, I want to say thank you
for
going over there and doing what you did.
My pleasure, man. It makes it worthwhile when you got people that care. You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest thing. Fuck yeah.
What's been your favorite part about living in Hollywood since you moved here? Since you retired, you know what I mean?
My favorite part, it's so weird because I walked to the end of my hallway, or not hallway, but I walked, I live in a house. I don't even have a hallway. I walked to the end of my driveway and I can see the Hollywood sign.
Oh, that's really cool.
You know what I mean? Because I live on Santa Monica and Western. Like,
that's really, really cool.
Right there, like, it's like a little hidden house. It's a small, little, tiny house. Yeah. $2,000 a month for a little house that would probably fit in a Pittsburgh closet.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so expensive out here.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay here, dude. It's so expensive. I got to get my life together.
Yeah, it's here. The people that are cool on being this close to troops. I mean, even though I'm out of uniform, I still love the people that wear it. And being this close to the store, I don't hang as much as possible because nothing gets the store, but I need to do time. And I also have that morning radio. So
You're too busy doing you.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, the store will come later, you know, and it's like...
And it's always there.
Yeah.
It's a treehouse whenever you want to... You know, whenever you need a break from all this time you are getting on stage, all your work responsibilities, but if you just want to go and have a beer and hang out, that's great.
Yeah, and especially like when you're getting to that... I think every comic has that weird self-loathing moment where you're like, dude, I got to get the fuck out of the house, go to the store. And that's, you know... And,
it's a great place for that.
But yeah, it's just a lot of... It's just being a kid that... vicariously live through Thrasher magazine,
right?
And you know, and NWA, and all that other
stuff. You grew up in Ohio. I grew up in PA, and they're like, "Whoa, everything in California is cool."
Yeah, everything's Dogtown. It's all this cool stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
Palm trees. I still get excited whenever I see a palm tree. Yes. I'm like, "Whoa!" And dude, Philly right now is covered in snow and ice. You know, they had a late season snowstorm, and today is beautiful.
And it's hard to believe that you know that's like what's going on somewhere else, and. To work for the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank morning radio show, like every Tuesday and Thursday, I drive and I do man on the street stuff. I talk to people. And,
it's awesome.
And everywhere I go in LA, it's like, it's funny too because, like, unlike construction, where you see things happen every day, you see that natural progression.
Yeah.
You don't.
It's very rewarding. Yeah. That's the most rewarding thing about construction. You're like, oh, that wall wasn't there yesterday.
No, yeah. You're like, you walk away, dude. It's like. It's
and we don't ever get that.
But no, and that's the thing, too. It's because I don't feel like I'm doing jack. Sometimes I just want to quit.
Excuse me. Corey.
Oh, hey, I'm Josh, man. Nice to meet you. No, you're good, dude. You get to that point where you're just like, man, F this, you know, like, this sucks, blah, blah, blah. And we all hit that wall. And then you have that good spot. And you're like, I'm going to stay out here for another 100 years.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
And then everywhere I go doing the comedy thing, you know, or doing the RV thing for the show, there's somebody that knows me. And then that's transferred to, no way! You're the guy from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank? So I did Oxnard, Levity and Oxnard not too long ago. And then nobody cares about Comedy Central or whatever.
Nothing.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this guy, because everybody's did Comedy Central now. You know what I'm saying? Or this guy's on this, da-da-da. But... that's the guy I listen to every morning. Like,
that's awesome.
And I'm like, yeah, you're not what they describe. I'm like, I know, it's a joke, you know, it's a radio. We're not supposed to really be what we, you know, describe, but it's fun.
Dude, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's cool because, like, you guys, I feel like you guys wrote the hall, or, you know, wrote the hall passes. You know, and I'm like, I just like, okay, cool, I got a hall pass to be here now. You know what I mean? Like, the store is where, that's ground zero. It'll be there. Let's cross our fingers forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing. It's just like getting past and all that other stuff. That's like the long-term goal. It's like, but the thing is you got to do the groundwork to get there. So like all the comedy shit, like doing all the mics, anything like that, that's like going to the gym. And then when you're getting paid to do a spot, that's going to the fight. That's
true.
How I...
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Everything's hard work, you know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody wants to hear it, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
It's even like, being a comedian, so much hard work. To do nothing. Right? Like, it's so easy to give up along this journey.
Yes. And it's just like, and then, well, this is a sad thing, too, is it's so easy to blame everybody else. Like,
Oh, for sure.
That's why they got me. They're holding me up and stuff. But
yeah, that's it, dude. It's like, you can always work harder.
Yeah.
You can always take more responsibility.
One of the things, too, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but one of the things, too, because speaking of working harder, is you work really hard with some of these charities around here. Like, you know...
I don't know. Yeah, it's just, I guess basically, I just try to be the person I want to meet.
Right.
You know, that's it. I kind of burnt myself out trying to do so much because it feels so good to help people. But it's just the way we're supposed to live, you know? I mean, I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to help people. That's, I still believe. Yeah. So, it's fun, though. Like, this week, I drove down to a hospital in Orange County, and I have a buddy. He had sent me a bunch of books that I'd given the Children's Hospital LA, and I found another box of books he had sent. He works for Disney. Right. So all these little kid books.
Right.
And then my other buddy works for a toy company, and I picked up a couple cases of teddy bears. And then my other buddy had a bunch of toys that were brand new that, like, they were just extra toys his kids didn't need. So I picked up my buddy, and we drove down to Orange County, and there's a little hospital down there. They have the second most beds in Orange County for kids, and they really don't have much for the kids. So it right. felt great to have drop off some smiles, essentially.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, and, well, for the sloth, Sean's last opportunity to help, that's that thing that we do with comedy shows. It's mostly on the East Coast, but it's been doing a lot of shows with that, and we've been able to raise money for PTSD dogs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Stuff like that. I don't know what the next mission is because I'm here and I don't get to meet the meetings because I'm out in LA.
Yeah.
But there's going to be more stuff coming up. And we just became like, what is it?
501c3 or whatever.
501c3 or I don't know the numbers and stuff.
Neither am I.
Yeah. Finally,
it's a real charity, real nonprofit.
We're a real nonprofit charity. And then just to plug the stickers again, if anybody wants to buy them. Just send money to them, and I'll mail you them. I'm not taking any profit. Anything you go to slothcares.org and go through there. Is there anything you want to plug, man?
No.
He's like, no, I'm good, John. All right, well, dude, Steve, thanks for freaking hanging out and letting me do this with you.
Dude, thanks for coming over and having some laughs.
Hell yeah, pretzels and water, man. This is the best. So. Well, once again, for all those I follow, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Much love, many thanks, and